Glory to his name this morning. The Lord is good. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start from verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown of good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and 100. That's the word of the Lord. From this passage of scripture, we're going to look at three things. The sower sows it, the people hear it, and Satan comes to steal it. The sower sows it, the people hear it, and Satan comes to steal it. I'll leave a title for this message. The title would be The Word. Lifting up Jesus, preaching and teaching the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. And we glorify your name, Father. You're just awesome. And we thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Father. We pray that you will just speak through me, God. Decrease me, that you might be increased, that your people might be able to hear your word, God, clearly, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now for the word that you have prepared. And we pray, God, that you will just bring it forth with clarity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The word. We say that every Sunday, lifting up Jesus, preaching and teaching the word. Amen. The word, and the word is important in our lives. But sometimes we can say that and we really don't think about what we're saying. You know, we just say it because it's just something that we have come up with to say every Sunday. But when we think about the word of God,
well,
and we think about the power that's behind the word of God, then we realize that the reason why we lift up Jesus and we preach and teach the word.
Amen.
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 And so we just want to take a look at the scripture just to see what the Lord is saying, because many of us come in different stages in our lives and we receive the word in different ways, and sometimes we understand, sometimes we don't. But we want to take a look at this word today and see what Jesus saw. The scripture says, and verse 10, he says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. This was a parable that Jesus had just told the people about, and his disciples came to him to ask him, what in the world were you talking about? So here Jesus is actually explaining the parable to his disciples. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto you. Everybody's not going to be able to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. The reason being is that because the mystery of the kingdom of God is spiritual. And so the natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit. And so no matter how hard the natural man will try to understand the things of the spirit, they can't understand it. And so Jesus is saying, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. At any time, if they should be converted, their sins will be forgiven them, and they will be able to understand the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but not until then. You know, sometimes we come to church, and if we don't have the Lord, Spirit of the Lord living inside of us, who helps us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, we're so confused. We try to figure out, well, why is everybody shouting? What is all this going on in here? And what are these people standing on? We're talking about they're standing on the word and all this stuff. I don't understand it, but as soon as you find a relationship with the Lord for yourself, things will begin to come clear to you what God is trying to do in your life. So somebody needs to understand that. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. And Jesus is saying that he sowed the word out. I could see the sower as he was throwing seed out on the ground. He's just throwing his seed, and he probably had hands full and probably had baskets filled with seed, and he probably just throwing the seed because, you know, he's trying to get an investment on what he has placed into the earth, and so he wants to make sure that he throws enough seed so that when he throws the seed, he'll find some fruit that's going to grow up sooner or later. Is that all right? And so the sower sowed, Jesus said the sower soweth the word. Now, the seed in this is saying that the seed is the word. When the word goes forth, the sower soweth the word. When the word goes forth, people hear the word. The sower is sowing the word today. The sower sowed the word this morning, and people heard the word, and people responded to the word, the word, the word. And when we think about the word, you know, the word is so awesome and it's so powerful that many people talk about the word in the Bible. In Proverbs, I guess it was Solomon who said, every word of God is pure. Amen. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Every word of God is pure. And in David, in Psalm 119, 105, he said, the word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my pathway. You know, so the word for us is very important. And then in Isaiah says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Glory to God, the word of God. So, I mean, what is this that they understand about the word of God? That they would say how, you know, the grass, we could look at the grass and it's going to wither and the flower will fade, but the word of God is going to stand. It's going to stand. If the word of God will never fade away, it will stand forever. What is it that they understand about the word? The word, the word of God. What is it that they understand about it? The word of God. Jesus said, thy word, oh God, is truth. The word is truth. Any, is no flaws in the word of God. Thy word is truth.
No flaws in the word. But then I like Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 when it talks about the word, because Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says that the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And it is also a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. It is alive. When we talk about the word of God, you wonder why the word of God does something to you when it comes forth. Because it is alive. The word of God is working. It is moving. It is doing things. It is cutting. It's taking care of business. The word of God is doing things. Don't think that the word is dead. The word is alive. It is alive. It is alive. The word is alive. It's alive. And what people need to understand is that what we need to start doing is taking a daily dosage of the word. We need to get some word in us every day. Take a daily application of God's word, because it has a purifying effect on our minds and on our hearts. And, you know, when we take the word of God, we don't understand what it's really doing. Sometimes when we drink medication, we think that the medicine is going to work because the doctor told us that the medicine is going to work. That when we get a headache and the doctor says, take this pill for this headache, we take the pill for the headache, and then we sit back and wait for the pill to work because we believe that the pill is going to work and the headache is going to soon go away. Well, the Bible is telling us to take some word. Take some word and allow the word to go in and do what it's supposed to do, because the word of God is alive and the word of God is quick and sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And I don't care what it is that's in the way of the word. The word will cut you like a surgeon's knife. The word will cut it up. It will cut it out the way. The word will cut it away. And so some of us may come in here and feel like the word is not, you know, done anything for you. The word of God has not been a blessing. I want you to understand that it's not the word. It's not, the word is sure. The word is a sure thing. There's nothing wrong with the word. Somebody can say that with me. There's nothing wrong with the word. The word of God is truth. The word of God is strong. The word of God is pure. The word of God, hallelujah, is sharp. It's alive. The word of God is alive. And it's moving. Every time it goes forth, the word of God, it seeks to find, you know, a place to land. The word of God seeks to find a place where it can fall on, a good ground that it can fall on, so that it can produce the fruit, the word of God. So the Bible says, and in verse 15, and these are they by the wayside. Because these are the people who hear the word. And this is the way some people respond to the word. First, there is the wayside people, where the word is sown. But when they have heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away that word that was sown into their hearts. And when we speak about hearts, we're not just talking about this heart that's beating in our chest. We're talking about the mind, because with the heart that the God talks about most of the time is the mind. Well, how you think. And don't you know that the enemy wants to have your mind? Oh, yeah, he wants to continue to have control of the way you think, see? He wants to continue to have you to think a certain way about God and a certain way about your life and a certain way about... He doesn't want you to start getting yourself to a place where you are above the things of this world and being able to understand the spiritual things. He doesn't want you to get there. And so the Bible says there are some wayside people where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take the word away out of their heart. Now, can you imagine that? The sower sows the word. He sows the seed. And all of a sudden, some of the seed is going to sure enough fall on the wayside. Some of the seed is going to fall on you. Some of the seed is going to fall on good ground. But some of the seed is going to fall to the side. Because seed, you know, it bounces. It gets around. You know what I'm saying? And so seed will fall on the wayside. And some of us come in with a wayside mentality. We're hard. And it's not because, you know, we don't want to understand God or we don't want to learn or know who he is. We just come in hard. We've been through some stuff. We had some disappointments in our lives. We're in a place where we don't know how to trust God anymore. We don't know how to understand who God is. We're just in that place. We're on the wayside right now. And when the seed falls, we hear it. We hear the word, but you know, we leave out and you know, you leave out and somebody asks you what was the word that morning and you can't remember what the word was because before you could get out the door, Satan has taken the word. He took it from you. Because your heart, was hard. Your mind has been hardened to the things of God. And you haven't been able to break through that. I'm telling you, you're going to get through. You're going to get through this thing. But you just got to keep coming. Because many of us leave here and we say, this stuff ain't working for me. It ain't working. Everybody's talking about what the stuff with God can do. And I done tried them. It just don't work. It's not working for me. And I don't understand what I need to do. I don't understand how I need to go about making this thing work for me. The enemy, he wants the seed. He wants the word. He wants to take that word. He doesn't want you to get the word of God. So he'll take it from you. And then verse 16 says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are those who are on shallow ground, rocky ground. Your ground, you know, it's rocky. And can you see the sower sowing the seed? And when he sows the seed falls off on some ground. You ever been on, seen in your neighborhood when you're cleaning up your front? And you see some area where there's some grass that grew up. And it had no business growing up right there, but just happened to be a little bit of dust there, a little bit of dirt there, and some grass grew there. But it had no root in it. The grass grew there, and so you were able to just take your broom and just sweep it off.
Come on now. Wow. No root.
Had no root. And many of us don't have root. We don't have any root because we are within ourselves. And so, you know, we can't endure but for a time. And then when persecution comes, we think it's God. We think God has done us a disservice. When persecution comes, we have nothing to stand on because we are feeling offended now. We're feeling like, you know, God, you have done me wrong, God. But just before that, you received the word with gladness. You heard the word. You said, God, I thank you. You know how we just did? We were hollering and screaming and yelling and jumping up and down and all around and on the floor and everything else. But guess what? When persecution comes, what are we going to do when persecution comes? See, we're able to figure, we're able to see where we are. We're able to see if we're a wayside Christian or if we're a stony ground Christian when persecution comes. Because then you start feeling like God is doing you wrong. You have no root. You have nothing to hold on to because you have not taken God's word for what it really is for your life. You just hear it, and you get excited about it, and that's as far as it goes. No root. And then verse 18 says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. We are overcome by materialism. Overcome. We're so worried that we don't have this, don't have that, didn't do this yet, ain't got that, want that, need that. We're so worried about that that we forgot that the Bible says that we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things that we want shall be added unto us. But we're so overcome by material things. We're so overcome by things in this life that we can't even see the blessings of God. We can't even see what God is trying to do in our lives. And it begins to enter in. And that word that we just heard, that word that just had us so happy and so excited, and that word that just had us all over the place, just praising and worshiping our God, that same word will become choked up as soon as we leave out and start remembering in this mind, in our heart, the things that we still need and still want. When we start thinking about those things and start running after and chasing after things and trying to make life work and trying to get this and trying to get that and then when you start doing all of that, your mind starts to think, God, this is not working for me. This word is not working. I'm here to let you know that the word is a sure thing.
Hallelujah.
It's a sure thing. And you better get the word in you. You need to get the word in you because the word will do what you and nobody else can do in your life. That when you're looking for something to happen and when you're looking for things to change in your life, it's the word that you need to be taking. You need to begin to take the word every day. Get up in the morning and take some word. And in the afternoon, at your lunchtime, you need to take a dosage of the word. And in the evening, you need to begin to take a dosage of the word. And even before you get ready to go to sleep at night, you need to take a dosage of the word. You know why you need to keep taking a dosage of the word before you go to sleep at night? Because the word will begin to continue to work in you even while you sleep. Because the word, even though you're asleep, the word is awake and is alive and is working and is moving in you.
Thank you, God.
And then verse 20 says, and these are they which are sown on good ground.
Good ground. Thank you, God.
On good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. These are they which are sown on good ground. The ones who are producing fruit, these are the ones. The ones who received the word and heard that word and received it and thought and believed the word. These are the ones who are receiving the fruit, are getting the, seeing that the fruit is coming forth in their lives. These are the ones. And Jesus is showing us that, when the word is sown on good ground, we see how the word just goes in and it soaks right in. And when the word goes in, the seed, the Bible says the seed, when the seed goes in, the seed has to die first. When the seed dies, the seed will begin to reproduce and things will begin to happen when the seed goes in. And what you need to understand is that you need to take that word in and allow that word to go in and begin to die in you. That when the word dies, the word will begin to create some fruit that you have put in you. Because with God, you're not going to get anything that you didn't put in.
Right. Well,
you've got to put some stuff in. Don't just think that everything is going to just happen like, oh, God, this is wonderful things. No, don't just think that. God is saying, put my word in you because it's my word that I have this is the way I have designed for this thing to work. My word. And when you allow the seed to go in and die, when you allow that seed to go in and die, things will begin to happen. We know, we understand that when a seed dies, it produces fruit. It sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. But you know, Jesus has said, he said, if it never dies, it will remain only a simple seed. Once it'll remain only a single seed if it never dies. And so if we just take the word, and when we take the word in and we don't allow the word to go in and die, then what will happen to us is that the word will just be just that. It won't do anything for us. The word won't be able to do anything because we have not allowed the word to go in and die and do what it's supposed to do, because it's supposed to bring life. Once it dies, it brings life to you. And so when you're sad, the word, and you bring the word of God into your heart, the word of God brings happiness. It changes. The word of God begins to cut up all that sadness. And, you know, and so when we start thinking that, God, you know, I don't understand. I don't know how to make this work. I'm so sad. I've been sad for so long, God. But God ain't telling you to try to keep, to make yourself happy by doing things and running around and trying to buy things for yourself and going to this place and going to that place. No, he ain't saying do that. All he says is just take that word. Take some word in you. You know what the word, and then allow the word to do what it's supposed to do. Amen. The word is alive. It's sharp. And if you can receive that the word is alive and that it's sharp, and that when you take that word in, the word will do what it's supposed to do, well, then you will begin to understand what God has, how God has designed this thing for you.
My Lord.
He said it's just that simple. If you understand my word, that my word is alive, you got to understand that. You stop trying to do it. We're all trying to do everything, trying to make things work in our lives. We're looking for this to happen, looking for that to happen. And see, when the sower sows the seed, let me tell you something. The sower has to wait for something to happen. He probably goes out every day and looks at that ground to see if anything is going to sprout up. And many of us, we get mad at God because we don't see anything the very next day. And we were like, this stuff ain't working. I done sold my seed on my anger. I done sold my seed on my disappointment. I done sold my seed on my healing. I done sold my seed, and I ain't seeing nothing. I get up the next morning, and I ain't seeing nothing. I don't see nothing growing. And God said, look, the sower had to wait. The sower had to wait. But guess what? The sower kept going out there. And God is saying to you, you be faithful. You just be faithful to my word. Trust my word. Trust me that I know what I'm doing in your life. Be faithful to my word. And look every day. Trust me, look every day. Because one day something's going to sprout up. Because my word got to do what I sent it out to do. When I send my word, it's not going to come back to me void. It's going to go out and it's going to accomplish what I sent it out to do. So I need for you to understand that, because when you put my word on your situation, things will change. Put my word on your situation. God is showing us, you know, because we're looking for some magic stuff to happen. We're looking for somebody to just jump out and just do some things for us, or things just change. And God is saying that it's not going to change that way. And it's not going to change when you want it to. The sower sowed the seed and he had to wait. He had to water it. Listen, water it. Some, you know, sow that seed and then begin to water that baby. Put some water on it. Put the word, fresh word of God on it every day. God, I believe you. That you're going to heal my body in the name of Jesus.
Oh, God, I believe you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you that, God, you understand what I'm going through right now, God. And you go to sleep and you wake up and you put some more word on it. And you don't see much of what you think God is supposed to do in your life. Wake up the next morning and say it again. God, I thank you and I believe you, God, that your word, you sent your word out and your word ain't going to come back to you, boy. I sent the word out on it. I sent the word out on it. I sent the word out on it. Jesus said, use my word. But what is wrong with us? We just need to learn how to use the word. And see, it's all with us. It's a matter of being in control. See, if we're not in control, then we feel like things ain't going to work. It's not going to happen. If we're not in control, because see, I know how to get things done. I know how to work certain things out. And but as long as I got my hands in it, I believe that I can do this thing. But sometimes we have problems that's too hard for us to handle. And God is showing us, he's just saying to you, I need for you to get your hands off of it. Take your hands off of it and begin to put my word on it and let my word do what it's supposed to do. My word is powerful. My word is sharp. My word will come in and do what no other can do. My word. Take your hands off of it. I need for some more people to begin to take that word in their heart, in their mind. I need for you to begin to take that word in your mind and begin to allow that word to do what it's supposed to do.
Hallelujah. My Lord have mercy. Come on.
How many of us know that Satan knows that if the seed dies in you? See, this is why. He doesn't want you to get the seed. He doesn't want you to get the word. Because if the seed dies in you, if you get that word in you and that seed dies in you, you will start believing that God can do anything but fail. See, and he don't need that. No, he doesn't need to have no Christians running around here talking about, well, this is happening in my life, but guess what? I know that my God is able. I believe that he can do anything but fail in my life. I trust him for whatever is going on in my life that God knows, and God won't leave me, nor will he forsake me. No wonder Satan wants to take your seed. No wonder before you even get out the door, he wants to grab it from you, because he understands that when you allow that seed to get in and when you really take it into your mind and into your heart and you realize what God can do for you, that it's nothing that Satan can do. He can't come against you like he used to. He can't make you look like he used to. He used to have you walking around with your head hanging down and make you walking around like you don't know God and you never met him before. And he used to have you looking like you are a failure in him. He used to have you walking around with your hair all over your head. And he used to have you acting like you never knew him before. But let me tell you something. He's mad about the word. Because he knows that if you ever get the word in you, he knows that faith will begin to come. And nothing shall be impossible to you. Glory to God. He knows that if the word gets in you, and you begin to take that word and remember what God has said to you, that my God is able to do anything but fail. That my God, that when I don't have money in my pocket, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. That when I feel like I'm nobody, when I feel like the whole world is against me, that my God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. When I think that things are going wrong in my life, word will begin to come up like never before. That when I'm sick, all I gotta do is call on the name of Jesus. And when I call on his name, And I put the word on his name. The word says, forget not all his benefits. Who healeth me. Because he is the one who healeth all of our diseases. The word will begin to come up like never before. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And when I feel like I'm weak and I can't find my way, that word will begin to come up and tell me that the Lord is my strength and my salvation.
Yes.
My he is the strength of my life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. He will begin to lean you up. He'll begin to prop you up because, you know, sometimes we'll get to a place where the world begins to toss us and turn us and have us leaning over a little bit. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. When you start thinking about the word and thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, hallelujah, before you know it, you were leaning. And he thought he had you. Hallelujah. But then you allowed that word to begin. Hallelujah. To work his way through that thing. You got to allow the word to begin to work its way through. Don't stop out the word. Don't start thinking about what you're going to do about it. Allow the word to do. I'm trying to let somebody know that the word of God is powerful. And if you can get it in, if you can allow God to let that word come in and allow it to die in you, stuff will start coming up out of you. When you think you should be saying, oh my God, I'm going to die. The word will come up out of you and say, I shall live and not die. You'll be asking yourself, where did that come from? Who said that? Who said that? The word of God will come up out of you, baby. Because you planted it. You allowed it to go down in. You allowed it to go deep. You allowed it to go deep in it, and then you began to water it, and you worked on that thing. You started memorizing that thing. And see, that's what the enemy will try to make you think that, oh, you know, since the word is so deep, that, you know, it's trying to make you think that you forgot it. God, that word will begin to come up out of you. It'll begin to come up out of you. And so I want you to understand that. The enemy knows it. He knows that we can be powerful Christians. Oh, he knows that. And what happens if we, all of us in here are powerful Christians, what happens to his little domain? What happens to his kingdom? See, he's sneaky. He's conniving.
Yes.
He's deceiving. And he will make you think certain things. And he'll come in and, you know, inch in and try to, you know, get to you in different ways and through different avenues in your life. Oh, yeah, he will do that. But you got to understand what God is doing. God is stamping out his little kingdom. But before he can stamp out Satan's kingdom, he needs to get his kingdom in order. And he's trying to get his kingdom in order. Jesus told his disciples, he said, what did he say? He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. I just gave you the mystery.
Hallelujah.
Of the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
I just told you about the word of God. And I helped you see yourself where you may be right now. You may be a wayside Christian. You may be a stony ground Christian. You may be a Christian that's on thrones, walking on thorns, and you may be a Christian of good ground. But I let you see who you are. And now you understand that the Word of God, if you allow the Word of God to go in good ground, what it can do for you. And we did. Reverend Terrence was talking about what God spoke to this church. And he said, I'm looking for you to expect good and great things this year.
Come on.
And I put it out there the way God told me to put it out there, and everybody received it. Now allow that word to grow in you. Water that seed. Water that. That was word. That was word. Water that. And don't allow the enemy to come in and trick you up and think. Make you think. Just because something happened. Just because something happened. Something bad may have happened. And you're thinking, oh. Well, they said that the word went forth, but ain't nothing good happening for me. Don't even go there. You just keep going. You just keep watering. You just keep watering. Keep watering and keep looking. Go to sleep. Lay down. Get your rest. Get up in the morning and look for it again. Go to sleep. Wake up in the morning and do it again. So the scripture in Ephesians tells us to renew the mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew your mind. The enemy wants your mind. He wants that. He wants, you know, your mind is the center of who you are. If he has your mind, he has you.
That's right.
And before we came to Christ, we were doing everything that he wanted us to do.
Hello.
Oh, he had us all over the place, acting like a pure, you know what. He had us doing all kinds of crazy stuff. He even made us think we were having fun. How about that? Come on, it's fun, it's fun. He made us think we were having fun. And so he had us. See, he had us. But he had us.
My God.
Then somebody got understanding. You got understanding. And you started believing what the Word of God had to say for your life.
My God.
And I want to say to somebody today that you may be going through some things right now, but guess what? It's going to be better by and by. You just keep trusting in God. Take the Word of God and take it and do, you know, act like I'm the doctor. And you came to the house and you asked the doctor to help me with my sickness. And guess what? Jesus is the best doctor that we can ever have. And Jesus told me to tell you to take some words. He said, you, that's all. Take some words. You done came to the best doctor that you could ever come to. Everybody walking around looking for a good doctor. But Jesus is a mighty doctor. Hallelujah. And he won't steer you wrong. Hallelujah. He knows what you need because he knows every hair that's on your head. He knows every part of you. He knows every being, every part of your being. He knows every part of your mind. He knows every hair that's on your head. He knows every thought that's even afar off. He knows it. He knows it. So he says, take a daily application of his word. There's nothing wrong with my word. There's nothing wrong with my word. If you use my word, like I tell you to use my word will do
what it was sent out to do. Amen. Let us all stand in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Glory to God.